Werner, Ruth and I are children of a so-called privileged mixed marriage. Privileged here means that the Jewish part of the mixed marriage was protected by the non-Jewish part. But the Nuremberg laws classified us as Geltungsjuden, valid Jews. We were treated as valid Jews because we were members of the Jewish community and went to school in the Jewish children's home. Our education and connection to the Jewish community made us just like children with four Jewish grandparents. So we had to wear the star, we couldn't take the tram, I couldn't go to school, etc. But the most important thing was that, to begin with, we weren't deported. Mixed marriage Jews in the German Reich weren't deported to Theresienstadt until late 1944, early 1945. By not getting divorced, our father saved our lives. It simply didn't cross his mind to abandon us. He was a confirmed communist. Human values and solidarity were paramount for him.
Our father was locked up here in Munich at Etzstraße in 1933-1934. He was a communist, a member of the Rote Hilfe, and married to a Jewish woman. Both of them were members of the Rote Hilfe. I have a document here dated October 7th, 1933. Confidential. Clementine Grube, born August 28th, 1903, among others, has been identified as a member of the Rote Hilfe. Father was sent to a forced labor camp in Thuringia. He was released after a while because he had gastric ulcers. He fought against Hitler in his own way, refusing to get divorced. There were very few who held out, with three children and almost no ration cards.
He was in the army until 1941 in the campaign against France. But then he learned that so-called Jüdisch Versippte, those related to a Jew by marriage, weren't permitted to wear the Führer's garment of honor. So he immediately reported that his wife was Jewish and was dismissed from the army in fall 1941. We were lucky, of course, because then he was here with us the whole time in Munich. We lived next door to the synagogue in Herzog-Max-Straße, in a house that belonged to the Jewish community. On November 8, 1938, in other words, the night before the pogrom night, we were taken to the children's home because our parents had nowhere to go with us. Of the three buildings in Herzog-Max-Straße, two were rented out, and the Jewish community administration was in the other. Across the yard at the back was a sort of depot for second-hand goods, toys, clothing, crockery, where needy Jews could find things. It needs to be said because whenever people talk of Aryanization, they mean the Jews with property, the wealthy ones, not those who were poor. And after Aryanization and the race laws, everyone who was still here was suddenly penniless. That's why it was so important that there was a Jewish welfare office. It set up apprentice workshops where Jewish youths could learn a trade. The children's home was also set up by welfare and also this depot.
On Hitler's personal instruction, the Leonhard Moll Construction Company demolished the third largest synagogue in the German Reich. It was the prelude to the physical annihilation of the German Jews. We lived here in house number three. In June, the synagogue was torn down, the houses became the property of the city of Munich, and on July 1st, we were given notice. On July 3rd, our sister was born here at number 3. Then, on November 7th, because there was no alternative, we moved to the Jewish children's home. It was the start of an odyssey that was to last many, many years. House number 3 was next to the yellow steps, number 5 was also lived in, and number 7 was the Jewish community offices. The caretaker and his wife, the Goldlusts, lived there. Like many other Munich men, Herr Goldlust was arrested in the pogrom night and taken to Dachau. But before they took him to Dachau, they tortured him. They hung him on a wrought iron gate here between number 7 and number 5 and cut him down before he was dead. Then they drove him to Dachau. At some point, they released him on condition that he leave Germany. He had to sign to it. He didn't know where to go. Somehow he went into hiding. He was found, arrested, and sent to Buchenwald, where he was murdered on December 8th, 1939. Frau Goldlust lived in Munich in mass accommodation for Jews at Lindwurmstrasse 125 until 1942. She was then taken to Theresienstadt, where she was murdered in 1944, on April 24th. Herr Goldlust is inseparably connected with when we lived in these houses, especially for my brother and me. After the synagogue had been torn down, we were the only family left living here, with no light, no gas, no running water. And it was Herr Goldlust who never failed to help us and who we always fetched water from. It was a residential area then. Now no one lives here. I don't come here anymore either. There's no one left who has the same connection I have with this street. Every year, the names of the murdered were read out at this square, even after Karstadt built their department store. I found it unbearable to see the people going in and out of the store. They go in empty-handed and come out carrying bags, while I stand there and read out the names. I stopped going. The city of Munich razed the synagogue to the ground on Hitler's and the mayor's instructions.
When the synagogue at Herzog-Max-Straße was demolished, the neighboring tenements belonging to the Israelite community were confiscated. On June 1, 1938, all tenants, with the exception of us, were given notice. Father tried to get the city of Munich to allocate us another apartment, but they refused. The municipal authorities referred us to the Israelite community, a joke. First they take away the buildings from the community, and then they're meant to find apartments for their tenants. We stayed in the apartment until November 7, 1938. There was no lighting, no water, no gas. Everything had been cut off. Our mother cooked on the wood stove in the kitchen by candlelight. Then we were evicted. Our parents had no alternative but to put us in the children's home in Antonienstraße in Schwabing. We were in this home for almost 4 years till early 1942.